Blog Talk Radio.
Tuesdays are the time to strengthen your roster depth. It's the Through the Wire podcast with Paul Kelly and Tom Brawley from FantasyGuru.com.
Today is Tuesday, December 8th, 2015. We're getting set for week 14 of your fantasy football season. I'm Paul Kelly, staff writer for FantasyGuru.com, here with senior writer Tom Brawley. We get together every Tuesday for our Through the Wire podcast. This is where we talk about some of the intriguing waiver wire options, if there are any, guys that we know that you're wondering about. And also up on the site right now for subscribers, our waiver wire article, very comprehensive article, a lot of names in there, a lot of stats, a lot of analysis. And we do update that article throughout the week as practice reports roll in and as we continue to get updated injury information as well. So let's run through position by position here and hit on some of the guys we know you are probably wondering about here as we head into week 14. And at quarterback, we need to acknowledge the fact that Blaine Gabbert, Tom, is playing good football for San Francisco. Now, Colin Kaepernick, when he was in there at quarterback, averaged just 15 fantasy points per game this season. Blaine Gabbert is averaging 22 fantasy points per game in his four starts for San Francisco. He hasn't scored fewer than 19 fantasy points in any of those four games. He's been very consistent. He's running the offense. And, you know, I know the body of work has not been good with him prior to this season, but so far so good in San Francisco. And if you were desperate in a two-quarterback league and you're looking to pick somebody up, he's been kind of getting it done here for a month.
Yeah, that's the state of fantasy football in 2015 here, that Blaine Gabbert is a competent NFL quarterback and he has fantasy value. It took a little bit of time in week 13 there till the very end. He needed a 44-yard touchdown and a long bomb to Torrey Smith in overtime to get that value, because he was heading towards a pretty dismal game, but he did come through. And he has one of the better matchups of the week here, you know, playing against the Browns team that looks like it's already packed it in here for a couple weeks already, trying to get a high pick here. So, you know, if you're real desperate or if you're in a 2QB league, he's certainly viable at this point.
Well, you mentioned the Niners are playing Cleveland this week, so let's acknowledge the fact that Johnny Football looks like he is going to be the Cleveland Browns starting quarterback here for probably the remainder of the season. So Johnny Manziel, I mean, is he somebody that you pick up here? I mean, it's been a very topsy-turvy season for him. So what are your thoughts there on Johnny Football?
Yeah, I mean, I can see it this week, but his schedule in the weeks 15 and 16 is against Seattle and Kansas City on the road. That's going to be set up for failure there for the Browns. But maybe if you're extremely desperate this week, the only issue is, you know, they're quite beat up at receiver. You know, they're down to just Brian Hartline. And, you know, if Travis Benjamin, you know, he left pretty early in week 13 with a shoulder injury. So they were playing some no-name guys. They just signed Terrell Pryor off the streets last week. He might be, you know, in their wide receiver rotation this week. So that would be the one thing that would scare me. I probably would shy away from Manziel if Benjamin was not able to go.
Yeah, it's been just a strange year for quarterbacks. They've kind of been a dime a dozen. 27 different quarterbacks averaging 20 fantasy points per game or more this season. So it's been one of those years you could kind of pick up almost anybody if they have a decent matchup, and more often than not, these low-end guys have been coming through for you. So let's transition over to the running backs and somebody who's been fairly significant here the last couple of weeks, especially in PPR. Bilal Powell for the New York Jets. Going into the season, we knew that he was the best pass-catching back on their roster. Dealt with some injury issues this year, but he's back now. In the last couple of weeks, he's been very, very viable in PPR.
Yeah, and the only issue I have is that he's a game flow guy. I mean, what I mean by that is that, you know, he's been really, you know, racking up the points in games where they're trailing and, you know, they're playing from behind and he's on the field, because Chris Ivory isn't the type of pass catcher to, you know, that they're going to be, he's going to be out there playing a lot of third downs and, you know, in passing situations. So that's the one issue I have with Bilal Powell, and they're playing the Titans this week. And, you know, the Titans have played better in stretches here with Mariota coming along here. But I would expect the Jets to be playing from ahead in that game. So, you know, Powell's going to be a bit of a reach this week. But, you know, he's certainly viable as a, you know, a guy to pick up here. You know, maybe you need him for week 15 or 16.
Philadelphia Eagles running back situation is a bit cloudy right now, and DeMarco Murray didn't play a whole lot this week, and Darren Sproles actually carried it 15 times, the most carries he's had in a game in like 6 years. We saw Kenyon Barner playing. Ryan Matthews hopefully is getting ready to return. Is he somebody that maybe we take a look at here? I mean, he's been very productive when he's been on the field, 5.6 yards per carry this season, scoring with regularity earlier this year when he was healthy. If he's coming back, is he somebody that you maybe take a look at here on the wire?
Absolutely. Especially, you know, if you're somebody that's already in the playoffs or you have a bye this week and, you know, maybe you're looking for a guy that, you know, out of nowhere you could use in week 15 and 16. Like you said, we have no clue if he's actually going to play. You know, he might not play the rest of the season. We don't know. He's had a concussion. He's missed 3 straight weeks here. So, you know, that's not a great sign. Kind of feels like the Carlos Williams situation from earlier in the year with the Bills, where he missed, you know, 3 or 4 straight weeks, and, you know, he was having a tough time getting on the field. It feels like a similar situation, but, you know, that, you know, if he can get clearance, you know, anytime soon in the next week or two, he instantly could become their lead back in that offense. Chip Kelly sent a signal, pretty strong signal last week, that DeMarco Murray is no longer going to be, you know, getting 20 to 25 carries. It seemed like he was pretty disappointed in his performance against the Lions on Thanksgiving Day, and it carried over into Week 13. So it's going to be a bit of a committee, but, you know, if Matthews can get healthy, he's definitely the best back. He brings the most to the table in that backfield, so he has some value potentially in the fantasy playoffs.
Yeah, the Houston backfield situation, a little bit cloudy there, too. Alfred Blue had kind of been leading that committee here for the last month or so. I know he was playing through a back injury this week, and it was actually Chris Paul who led the team with 61 yards on the ground, also scored on a receiving touchdown in that game against Buffalo. Is Chris Paul somebody that you take a look at here, or is this kind of a fluid week-to-week situation in Houston?
Yeah, this feels like a week-to-week situation. This hasn't been a backfield that I've been – you know, real keen on getting involved with here anyway, because Alfred Blue, and he did have a nice week or two, but he really needs to get volume, and if that volume isn't going to be there for anybody in this backfield, it's probably best to stay away. We should know more about Blue, you know, this week, but you know, he only played, I think, 12% of the snaps, which tells you that he wasn't completely at 100%, And Polk did you know, a decent job with his 12 carries for 61 yards last week. So, you know, if it comes out that Blue's not going to play this week, then, you know, maybe Polk is a reasonable option. But, you know, they will be going against the Patriot defense, which has been playing better and better all year. So, I wouldn't be expecting much from anybody in this backfield.
David Johnson, Arizona Cardinals, was the hot running back pickup last week. He produced big time in his first start this past week, and there is room for somebody to get some work, though, behind David Johnson, with Chris Johnson out, with Andre Ellington out. Kerwin Williams is somebody that they signed off the practice squad last week. If you remember back to the end of last season, he was their guy, and he was serviceable while he was in there, and it looks like right now he's the number two to David Johnson, and, you know, Johnson did come through in the first game there, but what about Kerwin Williams as a guy who has a chance to at least contribute here over the last quarter of the season?
Yeah, he's we've seen him play at different stretches of time here with Arizona and with Indianapolis, and yeah, he brings some explosiveness to the table. He's he's good pass catcher out of the backfield if they need him for that type of situations too. And we saw him close out that game against the Rams with some carries, and he scored a touchdown and looked explosive on a couple runs. So, you know, if you're real desperate and, you know, maybe you're a David Johnson owner at this point, you're maybe just looking to handcuff it. Kerwin Williams is certainly viable at this point.
Let's transition as we move on to wide receivers, and we've been waiting all year for Miami rookie Devontae Parker to do anything and contribute in this offense. And late in the year, but it's finally happening there for Parker, who has now scored in two straight games. I know Rishard Matthews has been out, and that's kind of why he's gotten the opportunity here that he's gotten, but he has been producing here the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, and whenever you heard, you know, us talk about Devontae Parker, different experts, that touchdown catch was exactly why the Dolphins drafted him. He, you know, showed off that huge wingspan that he has, the body control in the air on a deep ball like that. Oh man, that made us drool a little bit. But you know, he's gonna be up and down. You know, Tannehill doesn't throw a great deep ball, as we've seen over the years. Maybe this is what he's needed, though. Maybe he needed a guy like Devontae Parker to start making plays downfield for him. But you know, he needs to be owned. Rishard Matthews has cracked ribs, so it doesn't sound like he's going to be back anytime soon. Or at least he's at least going to be out another week or so. And even if he does come back, they should continue to play this Parker. The only thing I would worry about, you know, as we saw from last week, Ryan Tannehill threw the ball 19 times for only 86 yards. So it's they're definitely going back towards the run here. They're a little bit of a philosophy change here. So, you know, he could come up with a dud pretty easily here down the stretch if, you know, Ryan Tannehill is only going to be throwing the ball 25 times or less. So, but he definitely needs to be, you know, there's not a lot of great options on the wide receiver waiver wire at this point, and he definitely needs to be out.
Another rookie who's coming on here down the stretch, Doriel Green Beckham, Tennessee Titans, with his best game of the season in week 13, 5 grabs, 119 yards, looked great on the touchdown as well. Great catch in there. Marcus Mariota is a guy who's been very much boom or bust this year. I think he's had 4 games with at least 3 touchdown passes out of his 10 games, but he's had some other games where he's done nothing. So this passing game has been very much up and down this year, Green, consistent, but maybe this big game in week 13 is a sign of things to come here moving forward.
Yeah, I kind of like what I've seen from Mariota the last couple of weeks, though. You know, he's starting to show, you know, some of those, you know, intangibles that you want to see, and they're looking for a receiver on the outside. Kendall Wright has been – he's essentially been gone since week 3. He hasn't done anything at all. And, you know, they have guys like Harry Douglas out there. I mean, the only guy catching passes right now is Delanie Walker. So that he's been waiting for a guy like Doriel Green Beckham to start stepping up. You know, he's got the Jets this week. That could be a good matchup if Revis is out. But, you know, if Revis is on the field, you'd probably want to avoid Doriel Green Beckham. But he's certainly a guy that needs to be owned down the stretch here in case you know, he has another big game here in week 14 and, you know, becomes very viable here in the last 2 weeks of the season.
How about Brandon Coleman in New Orleans? He's a guy who was making some noise this summer. I think a lot of people were kind of cautiously optimistic on him. He came out week 1, had a pretty good game, scored a touchdown, and then after that, really didn't do anything. And Willie Snead kind of took his role in that Saints offense. But Snead is banged up, missed week 13, and Coleman stepped in. 4 grabs, 73 yards, and a touchdown. So he did come through this past week against Carolina. So, I mean, if Willie Snead is going to be out of the lineup, Coleman at least has a chance to produce here in what is a fantasy-friendly passing game.
Yeah, and maybe you're a Snead owner and you've been holding on to him here. You know, maybe you should just drop him for Brandon Coleman at this point. Snead's been banged up with a knee dating back a few weeks ago, and now it's a calf injury. The guy's just not healthy right now. And Marcus Colston is, you know, on the other side of his career here, he hasn't done much all season long. So if Coleman brought a little bit to the table, he looked good after a couple of runs. He was left wide open on his touchdown, which was nice. But you know, if he's going to start seeing 7-8, you know, targets a game, if Willie Snead's going to be out, he's certainly viable on the you know, the very deep end.
Let's go tight ends here, and not a whole lot to talk about, but a couple of young guys did return to lineups this week. Austin Seferian Jenkins, finally, he's been out since week 2, made his return in week 13, didn't do a whole lot in the game that kind of limited his snaps here, just caught 3 balls for 31 yards. He did touch it. It did drop a touchdown, though, so he could have had a better day. But Jameis Winston playing well. He actually has his full complement of weapons now with Vincent Jackson healthier, with Seferian Jenkins back. And Seferian Jenkins, he did have that huge game in week 1. So we know he's got that upside potential here. And I guess if you're dying at tight end, you can take a look at him.
Yeah, I forget what he played in terms of snaps, but I think it was below, you know, 50%. And he still saw six targets and, you know, had a target in the end zone. So, I mean, those are really positive signs. You would only think that his playing time should continue to tick upward. He probably should get over that 50% barrier this week. Like you said, it's Mike Evans right now and Vincent Jackson, and that is it in the passing game. And, you know, they have, you know, the golden matchup of the week here with the Saints. So, you know, maybe he's that streaming guy. He probably is going to be the top streaming guy this week for, you know, for fantasy.
How about Zach Ertz back for Philadelphia this week? Scored a touchdown, something he has not done since week 14 of last season.
Wow.
So Zach Ertz is back. I mean, look, the Eagles offense didn't do a whole lot against the Patriots. It really was their defense and their special teams getting it done there. But Zach Ertz is a guy we've always liked. I mean, we've liked the talent there, but for one reason or another, he's really never truly come through for fantasy, whether it was because Brent Celek was on the field a lot or the quarterback play maybe was holding him back. But encouraging what we saw here in week 13.
Yeah, and he actually had a really nice stretch, you know, before his injury, before his concussion there from weeks 5 to 10. He had 26 catches for 278 yards. So he was actually their most reliable receiver at that point. And it's not like anybody has stepped up in that passing game. Jordan Matthews has, you know, turned into just a guy here. You know, he has two touchdowns the last two games, but you know, the one against the Lions was in garbage time. The one against the Patriots was when they were up, you know, put them up 21 points. So he's had a kind of a, you know, a couple fluky games here. So Ertz has the chance to, you know, maybe step into that top receiver role here for the Eagles going down the stretch. So, you know, he's probably been dropped in a lot of leagues.
Yeah, and let's at least mention Ryan Griffin for the Houston Texans. Really have not utilized the tight end position for most of the year. It's almost as if the tight ends don't exist in the Texans offensive playbook. But Ryan Griffin is a guy who has scored in two straight games here. So we need to at least acknowledge that he is getting some looks, five targets in each of the last two games. Texans are a team that does need to throw it a bunch because they typically do not run it well. So he's a guy who has been coming through here the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, and he's already stepped ahead. I mean, he's, you know, playing a little bit more than C.J. Fedorowicz. They've, you know, given up on Garrett Graham. He's been a healthy scratch here recently. So he's starting. He's getting plenty of snaps. And, you know, it's not like Brian Hoyer has a ton of targets outside of DeAndre Hopkins. You know, Cecil Shorts is a nice player out of the slot. Nate Washington had a nice stretch in the middle of the season, but he's pretty much disappeared here. And the bigger thing is, you know, he no longer has Arian Foster to check the ball down to. He, you know, Foster has been a great receiver out of the backfield, you know, over the, you know, the last few years of his career. So if you don't have that guy to check it down to, the tight end, Ryan Griffin makes sense. So he has a chance to catch you 3 to 5 balls a week. And, you know, he's scored in the last 2 weeks. So he's viable on that, the very deep end.
Yep, he did play 63% of the snaps in week 13. All right, that's pretty much it for our Through the Wire podcast today. Again, our full waiver wire article is up now. It's updated daily at fantasyguru.com. Also up on the site, our Stock Watch article, which recaps the entire weekend of action. And also up on the site today, Hanson's week 14 projections. I'm sorry, they'll be up there tomorrow morning for week 14. So for Tom Brawley, I'm Paul Kelly. Thanks for listening. It's been the Through the Wire podcast for fantasyguru.com. Good luck in week 14, and we will see you at fantasyguru.com.